This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. The Reds' Joey Votto, Brandon Phillips, and Aroldis Chapman are on tonight's National League All-Star roster. But how are these and other Reds really doing this season? Joining me to check in on the team are Cincinnati Inquirer sports writer John Arardi, Reds team historian Greg Rhodes, and WVX reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email your thoughts to us at talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So talk to me about this team halfway through. They're above 500. That's something that's always a good marking point, but they're in third place.
On pace to win over 90 games, and I think most of us at the beginning of the season would have thought we'd take that, be happy with that. Little did we know that the Cardinals are on pace to win 105 or something. I mean,
that's crazy.
That's the problem.
Is it just that the National League Central is such a good division?
It's become a very good division with the Pirates and the and all their young pitching, and the Cardinals are absolutely a very good team. So this is the power is shifting away from like the AL East to the National League Central now, I think.
Yeah, what makes you a little bit afraid, Marianne, is that the Reds are probably going to make the playoffs, but they'll have a one-game playoff to advance to the next level, probably to play St. Louis. They're probably going to wind up playing Pittsburgh either here or there. And that's, as Greg and Howard know, that's a scary scenario. A one-game baseball playoff isn't much more than a joke because you just really can't tell who the best team is in one game. Can't do it.
Are you really think they have no chance to make it except in the playoff game? Play-in game?
Greg raised a great point. I mean, right now the Cardinals are on path to win 104. The Reds are on pace to win 90. I wouldn't be shocked if the Reds finished between 10 and 12 games back of the Cardinals. I think I wouldn't rule them out winning this division, but I think given the holes they've shown in the first half, it's a big uphill battle.
Let's talk about injuries. There are a lot of them, it seems, this season, from Johnny Cueto, their star pitcher, to the catcher Ryan Hannigan having some issues right now. Some of the relief pitchers are in trouble. What does this all mean? Is that why they're not doing as well as the Cardinals?
Well, I mean, obviously that's a factor. I mean, you had Ryan Ludwig, their cleanup hitter, on opening day, had injure himself, and he's been gone ever since. And even if he comes back in August, he's going to have to go through such a rehab. It's going to be like a spring training. So we can't really expect much out of him. You lose people like Jonathan Broxton, your setup man, Sean Marshall, your left-handed setup man.
Johnny Cueto.
Cueto, you know, now three times in the season. I mean, that is a big hit. And Ryan Hannigan and other nagging injuries. I mean, I think it's been a big
factor. It's always a part of the game. You're never going to go through a season without people getting hurt. And that's why you need a good bench. And if there's one thing you could probably point to where the Reds could definitely get better would be their overall bench. It's been a little weak. It was weak last year. It's been a little weak this year. They don't get as much help off their bench as you'd like to see.
Now, John, you said in the beginning of the season when we talked that one thing you knew wouldn't happen this year is that last year they went, every pitcher made their start. And this year, it's that's not happening. Did you think it'd be this bad?
I didn't think it would be quite this bad, but we have to keep in mind, I think St. Louis has run four rookie starting pitchers out there. I believe the Reds have had 11 different guys make starts. If I'm not mistaken, I think Pittsburgh might have had 20 different guys make starts. So my point is that these injuries happen everywhere. And Howard and I were making this point off air before the show started. Can you imagine in past years the Reds would have traded away a starting pitcher and he winds up in the All-Star game, which is what happened with Travis Wood, former Reds pitcher, now in the All-Star game. People would be raising holy heck because how could we give away a starter? Now nobody's even complaining because the pitching here is so deep, and that's the beauty of it. They really haven't hardly missed a beat, even though Cueto went down. Cingrani's been so good.
Boy, hadn't he?
I mean, he's been wonderful.
He's a treat to watch.
And Leak, who expected Leak to be the best pitcher the last 2 months?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, they're doing well.
And what's that Bailey kid's name?
Yeah. No hitter.
Johnny Vandermeer Bailey.
Yeah.
513-419-7100 if you have any comments or questions about the Reds. So we talked about pitching. Is the catching issue bigger than we think? I mean, you've got, of course, Ryan Hannigan, who's now down on the disabled list. Devin Mesoraco, who's got his own problems with back spasms. They have a backup catcher somewhere along the way, I think. That sort of gets mentioned, but nobody really seems to talk about it much. And then there's always Corky Miller coming back up from AAA. But...
Well, yeah, it is a big problem. Ryan Hannigan is a big part of this team. I mean, this guy handles pitchers well. He plays that position very well. And actually, over the years, he's not hit badly at all. I mean, he's, you know, produced at the plate. He was very slow this year, but that was because he's hurt. You know, both his hands were hurt. But his knee was hurt. And they got to get him healthy if they're going to have any kind of chance.
I agree. I mean, Mesoraco, you wonder how much of his problems have to do with his back and how much have to do with the fact that he's really not a great defensive catcher. And that really shows up when you compare him to a guy like Hannigan.
Right.
And I'm convinced if they have Hannigan in the postseason, they'll do well. And if they don't have Hannigan, they're going to struggle a little bit.
Mesoraco's improved, but
yes,
he's not there.
Right.
He's not there yet. He's not to the level of a Ryan Hannigan as a defensive catcher.
Should the Reds be looking for another catcher?
I mean, I'll tell you this right now. You can bet your bottom dollar that Walt Jocketty and his brain trust are looking, and they're not too thrilled with themselves for having let De'Aaron Navarro go after last season. He was a heck of an acquisition, was a large reason this team got where they did last season. So I think the Reds are definitely looking. They're not going to go into the postseason with any glaring holes, such as a catcher who can't catch. And the reason I say that, Bob Castellini, the Reds owner, knows this is the year to do some damage. They're not going to get Sin Su Chu back in the leadoff hole next year. He's a free agent. He's gone for sure. Billy Hamilton is not ready as a replacement. So I think Castellini wants to win now. It's a good policy.
Well, you have something on Cincinnati.com today that's stirring some controversy. You're suggesting that they need to trade Aroldis Chapman, the Cuban missile. Why?
The reason I would do it is because this team has pitching depth. Aroldis Chapman is being misused as a closer, and I think their only way to get good in the hitting department is to make a trade. Now, I wouldn't necessarily advise it now because this is Dusty Baker's team. He wanted Aroldis Chapman to close. He's gotten his wish. But it better work, because if it doesn't work, the Reds won't do well in the postseason and Dusty won't be back.
Any other comments? Greg, what do you think of that idea?
Well, I think the Chapman thing has been interesting over the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, he comes in as one of the most touted guys in a long time with that big, big fastball, that big left arm. And, you know, the back and forth, is he going to start? Is he going to relieve? We wind up with him as a reliever again. And, you know, the reality is you are more valuable to a team over the course of the season if you're going to be a starting pitcher than a relief pitcher. And everybody looks at that ninth inning and they look at that save and they think how valuable that guy is. But that's one inning. It's three outs. And it doesn't happen every day. You know, I mean, if you're starting, you know, you're going to go out there and pitch probably 10 innings on average a week, more than that. So, you know, he would be so much more valuable to the team overall if he could start. And I think that's what John's point is, is that looking down the road, how do you get the most value out of this guy? If you're not going to turn him into a starter, maybe the best thing to do is trade him and turn him into a left fielder.
That's right, and trade him for a big right-handed bat.
Very
nice.
Which
you can put in the middle of the lineup.
Thank you.
Which is what they need right now. There's nothing, you know, everybody gets all fired up and charged up when they see Aroldis Chapman come out from the bullpen to the mound. It's exciting, but we can live without him. You've got people like J.J. Hoover. You've got Sam LaCure. These people are capable of being major league closers.
513-419-7100. If you have a question, give us your opinion. Should or should the team trade Chapman or not? That we'd love to hear your comments on that. One of the things that you do point out, though, John, and I think is true, people buy tickets to see Aroldis Chapman pitch. I mean, is that going to hurt if there's not as many butts in seats?
I can tell you right now that the owner of the Cincinnati Reds, Bob Castellini, likes Aroldis Chapman very much, and for good reason. So would I. I think as a professional franchise, you have to do two things. You have to win and you have to draw. And don't necessarily think that drawing is number two, because every owner wants to make money, and Chapman is part of putting people in the seats. But I think people like winning even better than a great ninth inning closer, and that's why I would consider it at the end of the season.
What about other trades? Is there anything being talked about now? What might happen?
It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, you know, there's not a whole lot out there on the market right at the moment. You know, John had mentioned, you know, Giancarlo Stanton from Miami Marlins as one of those big right-handed power hitters that you could stick in the middle of the lineup. But they don't seem to be real enthusiastic about getting rid of him right now.
Right.
I'd trade him straight up today for Aroldis Chapman if I could. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just don't see that happening. And I think, really, Walt's going to do everything possible to fill the holes in this lineup. But essentially, we're going to have to live, you know, live or die with what we've got right now and get everybody healthy.
Although, you know, I would like to, we mentioned this earlier, I'd like to see some left field insurance and I'd like to see some catcher insurance. I think, frankly, they can acquire that without giving up a lot. But I come down to the same thing. Greg and I have talked about this before. Walt Jocketty is a heck of a general manager. He almost never ceases to amaze, especially at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
I think he'll do something.
Yeah.
So he could be at work, hard at work, and we don't even know about it.
Definitely.
He may be ready. He may be calling in soon here.
Well, he's a guy who keeps his own counsel. I mean,
yes,
you're not going to hear about it. He doesn't talk about it. He's not Jim Bowden who goes, you know, blabbing all over the place about what he's doing.
Right.
513-419-7100 if you have a question. Peter's calling from over the Rhine. Hi, Peter. What's your question?
Good afternoon. It's about this injury question and the phenomenon of so-called stepping up. I don't understand what stepping up represents. And if it is true, like last year when people said that other Reds stepped up when Votto was out, why don't they step up every day?
That's a great question. That's a great question. That's why I don't believe in stepping up either. I think it just happens. It happened last year that when Votto went down, Ludwig got hot. It had nothing to do with the fact that Ludwig decided, oh, geez, I need to do better. Votto's not here anymore. No, he just got hot at the right time. So I don't believe in stepping up either. It's a great question. But I'll tell you one thing, caller, I do believe in. I do believe the hot team wins in the playoffs. And you can't really predict it. You're not sure who it's going to be. The Reds were victimized by it last year by the Giants. And you can only hope as a fan base that your team gets hot in the postseason.
Thanks, Peter. We appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
What else are we looking for now at the All-Star break? What else are we taking a glance at the team as a whole? We've talked about injuries. We've talked about various players. One of the things I'm noticing that we heard last year is you had this team that had all this spirit. Scott Rolen, you know, pulled the team together. You don't hear so much about that this year. Is there a team leader?
I personally don't think so, but I'm going to let Greg Rhodes take this one because I think he has a good opinion on this.
I do. I tell you, I think that you know that if you're a winning team and things are going well, the clubhouse chemistry usually is pretty good, and you know it's a little chicken and egg kind of thing. I don't know that we have a club leader per se, but I don't know necessarily that you need one. You need the guys like Frazier. I think you need the guys that keep it upbeat and keep everybody positive. I think that's a real help. Do you need somebody like a Dave Parker? Do you need somebody like Tony Perez that's in your face, that's challenging you all the time? I don't know. I mean, there's different guys on the team that can do that. And it depends on how guys react to that kind of stuff. Some guys don't like that, and they do just fine. I don't know, Howard. What do you think?
Well, you need good chemistry on a ball club and a good atmosphere in the clubhouse. That's why, you know, when people were talking about going after Ramos Ramirez or, you know, somebody like that, to bring into that clubhouse, I think would kind of destroy the chemistry because he's not been a good clubhouse guy. There are certain ball players who are, you know, disruptive factors in clubhouses, and I don't think the Reds really have anybody who's like that. They have a bunch of good guys. Do they have a big rah-rah guy, a guy like Pete Rose who'd run up and down the bench screaming at everybody saying, you know, you're going to lose this World Series game? No, they don't have that guy. Their personalities are not that way. It's just something that maybe somebody like Todd Frazier will grow into that role, but he's not there yet.
But, you know, you mentioned Scott Rolen. Scott Rolen was not the kind of guy like a Rose type. He was much more the quiet guy led by example.
Johnny Gomes said it best. He said he's not the kind of guy that talks and gets in your face. He's just when you do something stupid out there and you go back into the dugout, Scott Rolen gives you a look. And when you see that look, you know that you've...
You don't like the look from mom. You don't
right,
want that one.
Exactly.
Greg, what were you going to say about that, though, Scott?
Oh,
Roy?
I just remember Tom Browning talking about how as a rookie came up in the mid-'80s and Pete was still with the team and Tony was there for a couple of years. And he was just talking sort of about, you know, they still had a lot of that spirit in them about, you know, this is the way you do it and you're going to do it the right way. And he just jogged down to first base one day on a ground ball that the second baseman wound up kicking around and was able to throw Browning out because he didn't hustle. And he got back to the dugout, and he said he got an earful from everybody. And from that point on, I mean, you know, you're going to run those balls out. So, you know, there's some benefits to that. But you know, really when it comes right down to it, you want your team to win, whatever it takes to win. And if it's a real rah-rah clubhouse, great. But if it's not, not a big deal.
Chris is on the line. Hi, Chris. What question do you have?
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to comment on trading Aroldis Chapman in the discussion that the panel was having on that. What about trading maybe Mike Leake? This is probably the most valuable he's ever been and is going to be. We've got, with Cingrani in there now, he's a left-handed starter, but we're overloaded on right-handed starting. So wouldn't it make sense to put Aroldis in that starting role because he does draw the seats? And then maybe free up Leake to go somewhere. I know you're not going to get a good quality bat for him per se, but maybe developmental trade.
John?
Well, caller, you make an excellent point, because if the Reds are going to make a move at a player like Giancarlo Stanton of the Marlins, they're going to have to give up something more than Aroldis Chapman, and they're probably going to have to give up a starting pitcher. And right now, of the guys they've got, Leake's the guy I'd let go, because let's face it, if you have a playoff game tomorrow, Leake's not going to start it. He's been your best pitcher for the last 2 months, but he's not your strikeout guy, and strikeout guys are the guys you want taking up your innings in the postseason. So, Carl, you raise an excellent point. I think teams will go after Leake, and I think the Reds will listen.
Thanks so much for your call, Chris. We appreciate it. One last pitching comment. You've talked about almost everybody except Bronson Arroyo. What do you say about his performance this year?
You know, I'll tell you right now, and this is just a general comment, but there is nobody that I like watching pitch more than Bronson Arroyo. You can get major league hitters out with 70-mile-an-hour fastballs. Yes, I love it.
We are out of time. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to Cincinnati Edition. I've been talking with Cincinnati Enquirer sports writer John Arardi, Reds team historian Greg Rhodes, and WVXRU reporter Howard Wilkinson. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Thanks to Pete Reitmeier and Bruce Ellis.